have contact. Appreciate you all being here today. It has been a long time, 24, 25 years, something like that, and it's good to be back with you all. I'm going to begin with an apology and with a request for you to please overlook when I'm looking you in the face, and I know who you are, but I can't call your name to memory. I was talking to Gary a little while ago. Gary said he's been like that, and I don't remember a time when I haven't been like that either. I can remember faces pretty well, and some parts of names, but sometimes it's hard to put it all together. So, if you will, please don't hold that against me. I won't waste a lot of your time this morning talking about some of those stories that I could tell you, some of the maybe not such good influences that I was on Brian and some others when I was here, but we certainly did have a lot of enjoyable moments, and I appreciate you all being here today and during the course of our meeting, our series of meetings this week. Hopefully we all will be encouraged as we look into the Word of God. I have some more things to say as we go through the week, but again, I appreciate very much your being here this morning. If there's anybody in the class that needs a handout, if you'll maybe raise your hand and somebody will get one to you. Maybe you've heard this before. One man walks up to another man and says, "Oh, I heard you were dead." And the man says, "Well, you can see that I'm not." And the first man said, "Well, I don't know. I heard it from a reliable source." And, you know, sometimes in life, when we're dealing with our relationships with other people, sometimes we have a tendency to believe some things perhaps that we shouldn't believe. Does anybody know what the largest weekly circulation newspaper is in this nation? There you go. The National Enquirer. You know, for people with inquiring minds. There are a lot of tabloids very much like that. A lot of people call those the gossip papers. And you know, that's exactly what they are. Over 11 million copies. Over 11 million copies for a weekly paper. Now, I'm not talking about daily newspapers, but for a weekly paper, over 11 million copies of the National Enquirer go out every single week. Gossip is fun. If gossip were not fun, guess what? People wouldn't do it. Okay? You wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it if gossip were not a fun and an enjoyable thing. Over in Acts chapter 17 and verse 21, Acts chapter 17 and verse 21, we read about a group of people here. It says in Acts 17, 21, "For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but to tell or to hear some," what? "Some new thing." Okay? "To tell or to hear some new thing." There in Athens, they had the open forum, the Agora, and it was a meeting place where people would just, they'd come together and they would spend their leisure time. They would spend their time. It was a place where when philosophers were traveling through, everybody would meet there, you know, and they would listen to the philosophies of people. And so they gathered there and they enjoyed that time. And the scripture tells us here in Acts 17, verse 21, to hear or to tell some new thing. The fact of the matter is, gossip is a tremendous problem in this world in which we live. It is a problem that I have been guilty of. It is a problem that I dare say you very likely have been guilty of as well. Somebody tell me, what is gossip? When we talk about gossip, what exactly does that mean? Usually, yeah, when we're talking about somebody else, and usually it's to the harm, to the detriment of somebody else, right? The derivation, the origin of this word, the English history, I read that it came from a term, godsib, and it was originally used to describe the relationship of a dear friend or a godparent, and it illustrated a close-knit relationship. And yet, we can see what has developed with that is that these close-knit relationships have been abused, and there are private matters, there are secret matters that are known, that are taken, and that are spread to other people. Gossip represents an abuse of a close relationship, an abuse of a close friendship. The word gossip in the New Testament is the idle talk of a person concerned with the private affairs of others. Some very important things there. Idle talk. If something is idle, what does that mean? It's useless. It's meaningless. It's vain. It's empty. And so the idle talk of a person who is concerned with the private affairs, not of themselves, but with the private affairs of other people. There are some words that you can see here on your handout, some words that are used in the New Testament that are related to this word gossip. And there certainly can be some overlap in the defining of these words. If you'll be turning over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we'll be looking at verse 11 in just a moment. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 11. The word busybody, the King James and perhaps some others, this word is translated tattler. If somebody asks you, like I'm about to do, what is a busybody, what would you say? Ah, there you go. Somebody that noses into somebody. It's not just somebody that happens to know the details or knows the affairs of somebody else, but their MO in life is they're going to dig. Here's a definition for you for a busybody. A nosy newsmonger who delights in the gathering and spreading of personal information. You may remember several years ago, I believe it was a TV commercial for the National Enquirer, you know, because people have a right to know. You remember that on the commercial? And so much of the time when we think about gossip or we think about being a busybody, there's a lot of times that's exactly the thought that's going through our mind. Well, the public has a right to know. And I'm just doing a service for people who have a right to know. Again, a busybody, a nosy newsmonger who delights in the gathering and spreading of personal information. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 11. Notice what Paul said. Paul said to these Christians in the city of Thessalonica, "For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner." Before we go any further, a disorderly manner, you know that was a military term. Right? And you realize or remember what that term described? What does it mean to walk in a disorderly manner? Out of step. That's right. You know, you're in the military and marching, step, step, step. Well, somebody that's out of step. And from a spiritual perspective, here's what Paul said. He says, there are some among you who are walking disorderly. And he says also here in verse 11, not working at all, but are busybodies. Okay? There were some who were disciples. There were some who were Christians there in that number of the church in Thessalonica who were busybodies. If we read the very next verse, God, through the Apostle Paul, gives the solution to this problem. And what does he say the solution is? To being a busybody. Go to work. Yeah. Be busy, but not being a busybody, right? You be busy. And he says in verse 12, those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness, listen to this, and eat their own bread. What's Paul saying? Eat their own bread. That's right. You keep your nose in your business, and you keep your nose out of the business of somebody else. Heard somebody say one time, if I am concerned about myself and I'm taking care of myself, I've got more than enough to keep me busy. And how true that is. I've got plenty more than enough to keep me busy without being a busybody, without being one of these people that is going to have to dig into the lives and the affairs of somebody else so that I can learn information so that I can spread that. Well, let's talk about another word that's used in the New Testament, the word whisperer. What would be or who would be a whisperer? No names, please. Who would be a whisperer? What's wrong with whispering?
It's not the volume of what's said.
Yeah. Sure. This word that's translated whisperer, one who breaks confidences entrusted to him or reveals secrets he has learned about others. Has anybody ever told you something in confidence? Well, about all of us say, well, yeah, people tell us things in confidence. They say, I want to share this with you. I want to talk to you about this. Please don't tell anybody else. Well, now, if I'm a whisperer, if you're a whisperer, now I've got some juicy information. I've got a morsel of knowledge here. And you know what I can do? I can kind of in an underhanded kind of way, and you say it's not so much about the volume, but what is being described in this word whisperer, it's somebody who is doing this kind of behind the scenes. Okay? If I'm a whisperer, I'm not going to be in a setting like this and do my gossiping. Okay? It's going to be in private situations. And I may come to you and I may say, well, you know, I really shouldn't say this. I really shouldn't tell you this, but, well, most of the time when we preface our comments with, I really shouldn't tell you this, don't. That's right. And that should be the end of it. That's not always true. Right? But most of the time it is. Notice over in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13. Proverbs chapter 11. And verse 13, a talebearer does what? Reveals secrets. Hey, again, he's privy to this information. He knows some secrets. He knows some information from other people. And the person that the Old Testament calls a talebearer, well, he's going to go and reveal that. Again, somebody entrusts information to you. What's your responsibility? Keep it. Hold on to it. Don't spread that. Don't share that with other people. The writer continues here in Proverbs 11, verse 13. But he who is of a faithful spirit does what? He conceals the matter. He keeps the secret. But I know just as well as you do, it's a hard thing. We've got this information, and like Jeremiah says, it's kind of like a burning coal on the lips. You just can't wait to get rid of that. Somebody tells you something, maybe they tell you something in confidence, and it burns inside you until you tell that to somebody else. And most of the time, we're not satisfied in this whispering mode. We're not satisfied to tell it just to one other person. We've got to go from place to place to place to place. I mean, we really disseminate this information. We spread it all over. All right, so the word whisper is another New Testament word that is used. As you're turning over to 1 Timothy chapter 3, another word that is used that's very closely related is the word slanderer. Okay? Slanderer. Who would be a slanderer? Yeah. Their intention is to do damage. Okay? It's not like, you know, I really didn't mean to hurt you. I really didn't mean to cause this harm. Well, this person has every intention. I mean, that is the motive. Okay? There's a difference between, in our society, a difference between slander and libel. What's libel? Libel is when you have it in writing. Slander is when you speak it. Okay, slanderer, or a slanderer, one who damages others' reputations by speaking malicious or evil things about them. We've heard and used the term backstabber. Okay, that would apply here. You've heard the term character assassin. That term would apply here as well. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11. Notice what it says. Likewise, their wives, whose wives? Deacons. He just talked about qualifications of deacons. And he says, likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers. Okay? Not slanderers. Over in Titus chapter 2 and verse 3. Titus chapter 2 and verse 3. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers. Okay? This word that is translated slanderers, I'm not a Greek scholar by any stretch of the imagination. That hasn't changed since 1985. But I depend mightily on people who are or have been Greek scholars. And here's what I learned about this word that's translated slanderers here. It is the Greek word diabolos, which is the word that's translated adversary many times. And who is described in the Bible as the adversary? Satan is. Okay? Well, you know what? There's a word in these two places that's translated slanderers. Adversary. There's nothing good about that situation. And so the instructions are given to avoid this. Here's a good quote. Will Rogers is famous for saying this. The only time people dislike, any guesses? Gossip is when you gossip about them. You know, from the perspective of the person that's doing the gossiping, said a little while ago, you get that juicy morsel there on the tip of your tongue. You get that juicy morsel there on your lips. You've got this information. It seems like it's just a hot burning coal and you can't wait to get rid of it. But from the perspective of the people who are hearing, it's very much like that as well, isn't it? We just can't wait to hear some juicy information about somebody else. Anybody in here ever been the target of gossip? You don't have to, you really don't have to raise your hand. Or been the target of gossip, okay? If you have been the target of gossip, and probably everybody in here has been, but when that happened, how did you feel? Think about it. How did it make you feel? Well, the golden rule. What's the golden rule? as you would have them to do unto others before they do it unto you. That's not the golden rule. Do unto others as they have done unto you. No, that's not the golden rule either. Okay? As you would, therefore, that men should do to you, do you even so to them. Okay? So, you treat other people the way you want to be treated, and we don't always do that. Don't always just fall flat on our faces in that regard. Speaking of gossip, do you really want people gossiping about you? We probably don't want that. We don't want all the hassles that go along with people telling stories on us. And so we need to keep that in mind when we are tempted to gossip as well. Over in James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse 5. In James chapter 3 and verse 5, we read, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles." What's the teaching there in James chapter 3 and verse 5? A lot of damage. And it doesn't take very long, does it? It does not take very long. How many of you have ever played the gossip game? Have you done that? The first time that I had ever even heard of the gossip game was over at the Price residence here in Peyton City.
Wait a minute.
Yep, I'm just stating the facts. Now, the Prices had a bunch of young folks over back, I guess it was probably 85, a bunch of young folks over, and said, "We're going to play the gossip game." I said, "What?" And so we had, as I recall, that had two teams of people, and somebody had, I don't know if Mary Jo did this, somebody had written out this long, highly detailed story. And, you know, you tell the first person all these details in this story, and then that person tells the next person and whispers to the next person in line, and then, you know, you just keep going right down the line, and then when you get to the end of the line, then that person aloud tells the story for everybody. And so the point of this game is to see which team is able to keep all the facts straight. Well, if you've ever played the gossip game, you know it's really a pretty funny party game. Pretty funny. Because by the time it gets to the end of that line, that story is not even a 40-second cousin twice removed of the one that began at the start of the line. Well, that's exactly the way it works in real life, too. Again, that's a fun party game. But it illustrates the problem of gossip. One of the problems is that you hear this story or this, you know, series of details about somebody, and, you know, by the time it gets spread to 13 or 14 people, it may be just completely different and a whole lot worse than it was at the start. And I don't know who it was over there that afternoon. I don't know who it was, but there was somebody. May have been somebody here. It's possible. There was somebody there in that line who was determined to change the facts, just to make the story better. And, you know, again, that illustrates one of the problems with gossip too, right? Because sometimes it's not just a problem that we've got information that we're passing along, but it's, well, that doesn't sound quite as bad, and so I'm going to fabricate just a little bit. I'm going to stretch the truth a little bit. And I come up with some of these details, and I add to the story just to spice things up. Not good. Not a good thing by any stretch of the imagination. William Barclay says that the whisperer is actually worse than the slanderer. And here's what he says about that. A man can at least defend himself against an open slander, but he is helpless against the secret whisperer who delights in destroying reputations. It's true. If I have to make a choice between having somebody slander me publicly or somebody whispering behind my back, I think I want them slandering me. Because at least I know what's going around. And I have an opportunity to defend myself. And we need to keep that in mind. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. Brian, did you say 10 or 10 after?
Yeah. All right. All these words somewhat overlap. Yeah. And they involve conversations that should never take place.
Yes, sir.
Especially in my fiction.
Yes, sir. That's right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, it's just like so many other things in life. This is the way the world lives. On a daily basis, the world lives like this. But God calls us to a higher standard, doesn't he? In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15, Jesus says, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, run to your neighbor and tell your neighbor what your brother has done." Is that what Jesus said? He said, "You go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, what does he say? You've gained your brother." Okay, now what was the objective here in Matthew 18, 15? What was the objective? The objective is to win your brother, right? It is for your brother to make correction in his life. But I tell you, that's not always an easy thing. In fact, I don't know that it's ever an easy thing. Confrontation. You know what the easiest thing is to do? My brother does something or says something against me. The easiest thing? I'm going to go tell somebody else. And I'm going to go gripe and complain about, "Well, here's how this person treated me. Here's what they did. Here's what they said." That's the easiest thing in the world to do. How often, if we would follow the instruction that Jesus has given, how often would that put an end to this gossip chain? See, it would. And I know it's not a pleasant thing, but we need to ask God to help us with the matter of courage, and particularly the courage to confront. Jesus talks about how that's the right way to deal with these things. That's the fair and the honest way to deal with it. How bad is gossip? I mean, is it really such a big deal? You know, we spent a lot of time already this morning talking about these words and defining them, and we've been painting a pretty ugly picture of gossip. Is it really that bad? Idle mind is the devil's workshop. Okay? Look over in Romans chapter 1. We could spend certainly more time than we've got left. We could spend more than a whole class period just looking at the last few verses here. But Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 28. And I'd like for you to listen particularly as read through a list of sins that are named. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 28. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness." They are, what are they? Gossips or whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, unloving, untrusting, or untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Before we read verse 32, that's a pretty heavy list, isn't it? you know as well as I do, one sin is just like another sin as far as making us guilty. Doesn't matter what that sin is, one sin is just as bad as any other sin. Turning away from God, not doing what God wants us to do. But the way we look at things a lot of times, we look at this list and we say, wow, that's a pretty serious list. Well, included in that list, gossips, whisperers. This is an awful thing. Verse 32, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of... deserve to die. They're deserving of death. Not only who do the same, but also who approve of those who practice them. Now, again, if we look at one up there in verse 30, haters of God say, well, yeah, I understand that. See, we can understand those that we think are extreme cases. But gossiping or whispering is included in that as well. Anyone who will gossip to you will gossip about you. Keep that in mind as we're, you know, talking to other folks. Anybody that will gossip to you will gossip about you. I believe gossip is rooted in personal pride. Personal pride. And here's what I mean by that. If I can say something to run you down, you know how that makes me feel? That makes me feel better in some twisted way. I kind of elevate myself. Well, I'm not as bad as that. I know I've got some problems, but I'm not as bad as that guy. Personal pride. A big problem. Well, got some other things here. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1. Think about how gossip can affect the reputation, not only of the gossiper, but the person that's the target of the gossip. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1. What's that over there? A good name is what? Is more to be desired or more desired than riches? Okay. You don't have to raise your hand on this one, but anybody in here that well, you're just a thief. You go and you steal stuff from people. Oh no, we wouldn't even think about stealing things from somebody else. Those don't belong to me. It's hands off. We wouldn't think about stealing from somebody else. And yet, it needs to be driven into our minds that when we gossip about other people, you know what we're doing? We really are stealing their reputation. That's a very serious offense. Very serious offense. And, you know, one of the additional problems here is in these relationships, I may not actually have to come out and tell you tales. Maybe not. Maybe all I have to do is just say something or sometimes just look a certain way so as to cast the shadow of doubt on somebody else. I'm going to be picking on Brian all week long this week, so you all enjoyed this. Somebody comes up to me and says, you know, Brian Price is a good man. I say, yeah. I've agreed with what they said. Right?
Non-verbals.
What's that?
The non-verbals.
The non-verbals. Okay. I've cast the shadow of doubt. And now I walk away, I don't say anything else. Brian gets wind of this, and Brian comes to me, Doug, I heard that you said something bad. No, I didn't say anything bad about you. Somebody said Brian Price is a good man. I said yes. Cast the shadow of doubt. That's all it takes. Okay? Well, you know, this guy did such and such. Well, that's not what I heard. What do you hear? Oh, I can't say. I walk away. Again, I've cast the shadow of doubt. You know, there's a very good reason why the National Enquirer and other gossip tabloids like that are so popular. Very good reason for that. And, well, here's a couple of them. John chapter 3 and verse 19. Got these scriptures printed out, but John chapter 3 and verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. How about this one? Proverbs 18 and verse 8. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. The New King James says they go down to a man's inmost parts. You know, the fact of the matter is this. We enjoy taking in that gossip. But we need to understand that gossip is something that is going to hurt us. It's going to hurt us. It's going to hurt people who are around us. And we need to guard ourselves. One more scripture real quickly. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20. Without wood, what happens to a fire? Fire goes out. That's what the wise man said. Without wood, a fire goes out. And without gossip, a quarrel dies down. So here's what God's wisdom says. God's wisdom says, do everything you can to avoid gossip. Avoid being the person that listens to gossip and avoid being the person who spreads gossip. Appreciate your attention.